And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here for Mina Kim.
Holy Father, you have come and chosen enough to carry
That voice is Lisa Fisher, a vocalist who is performing that very song with the Alonzo King Lines Ballet in a production called The Propelled Heart. And she is with me here in the studio. Lisa Fisher, good to see you.
And you as well. You look beautiful. I wish people could see what I see.
You're
like
so
the
nice.
Sun. You're just
I'm blushing now. So
you're
beautiful. That's why I look like the sun. I'm blushing. Welcome. And this is, you're back in this production again. How does it feel to be back in San Francisco performing this again with Alonzo King and Lines Ballet?
It's just amazing. I mean, the dancers are so liquid and they're angular and they're soft and they're like the wind, but then they're also powerful and they're almost like living, breathing art with souls to me.
And describe, I saw the performance last time, I think it was 2015 when you first performed it.
Yes.
But describe it, because you're on stage in the middle of the stage and you're surrounded by these dancers, right? What's that like?
It's insane. I mean, you know, I get to be a thread, and I feel like they're this beautiful material, and I just get to weave in and out of them on a musical plane. And it's just beautiful for me to see the movement with the melodies and just how they marry well together.
Sometimes, you know, you can be in the audience and think that to a certain extent they're responding to you, but it's all very choreographed, right? I mean, how much of it is spontaneous?
Well, for me, every breath is spontaneous. You know, you can plan and plan until the day you die, and nothing ever really ends up being exactly as you plan it. So you get a certain framework just so that people, you know, don't run each other
bump into each other.
Right, exactly. So you do have some framework, but within that there's so much freedom, and I just love the yin and yang of that.
Well, and how do you draw from the dancers, and what do they get from you, do you think?
Oh my God. I draw the feeling of being really present in the moment, and they're so connected to their bodies and souls. And so I feel this this alignment with them. I feel aligned. I feel balanced with them because they have to be. And somehow or another, I just have to weave myself through their balance. And so I think that's the gift that they give me. I don't know what they get. I mean, I just see the joy. I see the release in everything that they... in every movement that they make. But I have a funny feeling they do that all the time.
Well, have you ever been a dancer?
I took ballet when I was really itty-bitty little, so I know first position and second position.
Why didn't you stick with it?
I think it just wasn't really available. I was more interested in music, and so, you know, after school was wonderful.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn. I went to PS 67, and we had lovely teachers there and beautiful after school programs, but I just kind of was really more drawn to the music, and then dancing started to become more of an issue for me as I got older.
It's tough on your body.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant, that it's like hard on your knees when you say it became an issue for you?
More an issue in the sense that, like, I love to sing, but I'm very uncoordinated, right? And so when a choreographer says, yeah, you're going to sing background for so-and-so, but you're going to have to learn these steps, like for Tina Turner, for example. Trying to learn steps for Tina Turner, I literally stood in the middle of the dance studio and cried because I just couldn't get it all. And so the choreographer was very kind and just calmed me down and just took me step by step.
Yeah.
You know?
You, of course, I think, I mean, you had a very robust singing career before the documentary, 20 Feet from Stardom. But I think for many people, you really came into focus for them in seeing you performing with Mick Jagger and the Stones and everyone else. Mm-hmm. What did that movie mean to you personally and for your career?
For my career, I think it's gotten people sort of curious, like, well, what is she doing now? So it's given me the gift of being able to tour with my own band, Grand Baton, and J.C. Maillard is a musical director who's also written a lot of the music for The Propelled Heart, and Aidan Carroll, who's our bassist, and Thierry Arpino, who's our drummer. And so it's given me the opportunity to just share music, which is all I want to do. Career-wise, it's been a blessing and a gift. It's given me a second life. Personally, I mean, I love everyone in the film. I knew Darlene Love from before, but I had not met Mary Clayton. And she is the vocalist that sang the original Give Me Shelter. And so to have the opportunity to meet her was just like a dream come true, because all the years that I've worked for the Stones, which is probably 28 years, I'd never gotten the opportunity to meet her. And I knew her voice. I knew every crack, every crevice of her voice from listening and listening and listening.
And she was, it's been a while since I've seen the film. She was pregnant when she originally recorded that?
She pregnant? I don't know, but I know she had curlers in her hair and a fur coat, and they called her in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great story. Yeah. What did you learn from, I mean, these are some of the most iconic singers. I mean, Mick Jagger, of course, but Tina Turner, you mentioned, Roberta Flack.
Oh, I love her.
So many. Dolly Parton, I think you performed.
Yes.
Such a range of singers. Did you take something different from each of them, or do you feel like what you know, being backup singer, it was really not about what you were doing. It was about what they were doing and helping them excel at what they did.
I think it's both. I think it is for the main part, it really is trying to mirror what they do and give them a cradle so that they can sort of just be and not worry, to just be able to open your mouth and sing and just know that everyone behind you knows what they're doing and they've got you. It's like, it's such a comforting feeling. But you have to sort of kind of, like for me, when I listen to different singers, I listen to how they phrase their vowels and their consonants and the weight of their voice and the color. Like I see colors when I hear a particular voice. And so I try to mirror those things in my mind when I'm singing background for someone, so that it's not just a strange voice entity that's cradling them. You know, I really want it to feel like an old pair of shoes.
You, as I said, you had a very successful career before, you know, early on in 1991, your debut album, you had an R&B hit, How Can I Ease the Pain? You won a Grammy with Patti LaBelle.
It was a tie. I love Patti LaBelle.
It was a tie. That's right. You heard her name and you thought you hadn't won.
Yes! Because first of all, I didn't even think I'd be nominated. I was just like, wow, I got a record out. Yay. That's, you know, the end of that. And then when my manager called me and said, you're not going to believe that she got nominated. I was like, get out of here. And then it was like Vanessa Williams and, oh, Gladys Knight. And,
we'll come back to it.
Yeah. My
It'll
brain.
Come to you in the middle of the
night. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. I'm like, ah!
But you decided, even after you won that Grammy, you decided, you know what? I'm not going to really pursue glory for myself. I want to be a backup singers. It doesn't really give justice to what you do, I think. But why did you make that decision?
It was mainly, okay, so we were working on a second record, and usually a lot of people say the second record is a curse because you feel nervous. You want to do, you know, better than the first one, but you don't even know how you did the first one, really. You just kind of followed the path and you did what you did. You don't know really the recipe for, you know, what you did.
Matching what you did in
Yeah, exactly. It's really difficult. And so I started to feel this invisible pressure, I think probably coming from me and just what my wanting to please everyone, which is slightly a disease at times. The record company had some changes and they were trying so hard to help me put this record together, and it was taking so long and nothing felt perfect. And so I ended up switching labels, and the label that I was supposed to go to ended up not signing me. And then I had no record deal, and it was just depressing and heartbreaking. And I was just like,
You wanted to let it go. You decided to let it go.
Yeah. I was just like, I just really want to sing. It's just like all this other stuff is just so depressing.
It was the business side of it and the marketing of it and all that stuff. Yeah. Talking with Lisa Fisher, a singer who is in town, collaborating once again with Alonzo King's Lines Ballet, the production, which I believe begins on November 15th, which is next weekend. Not this weekend. Yes, next coming week. Yeah. The Propelled Heart is the name of it. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. What is it like? There must be a difference, of course, being in the background when you're performing versus being in the middle of the stage surrounded by dancers. How do you approach those two kinds of performances differently?
It's interesting. I think I feel like I'm in the middle of this beautiful river around the dancers, because they're always moving. They're always doing, even if it's just the way that they stop moving, they're moving, you know? And so I feel safe. I feel like I can just be a part of the tapestry that they're creating. And that for me is really comfortable.
You're so, of course, as a singer, tuned into sound. What do you hear on stage that probably the audience doesn't hear? Because there's a lot of exertion going on up there, right?
The patter of feet on the stage. Yeah, the twisting, the squeak of a twist of a ballet shoe, the flickering of the lights as they click and they switch to the scenes, or the way that the curtain moves, the you hear the people sort of preparing on the sidelines, and you see them sort of getting in their zen place and pulling and sucking in that energy so they can just burst it out into the audience, you know, it just floods out.
You, as a singer, you have a longer career than dancers do, probably. I don't know what old for a modern dancer, a ballet dancer is, but it can't be much more than 28, you know. What do you tell them as someone who has wisdom and a long career? What kinds of things do they want to know from you as a performer?
You know, they're so focused on being in the moment that I haven't really had a chance to have that kind of conversation with them. And they're young, and so the future is long and bright from where they're sitting, you know? But as I see, and I'm sure they probably studied other dancers and their careers and what they choose to do. I mean, you have people who open dance schools or teach privately, or they move into a different area of dance where they help out with staging. And there's just so many wonderful options. But it's interesting. It's whenever I see a dancer who may consider themselves a bit older, I always find them really interesting and seasoned and well-rounded. So I don't know. I think the world is wide open to them, and I think they have a lot to teach us about our bodies and how to stay healthy and to stay fit and to dream and to stretch, you know?
Talking with Lisa Fisher, and we want to invite you to join us, 866-733-6786, and we'll begin in Oakland with Danny. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, are we on? Oh, good. I just had the great good fortune to hear Lisa with Grand Baton at Bing Auditorium at Stanford a few months ago.
Hi.
And I'm just so, so thrilled to be able to come on and tell her it was one of the greatest musical live performances I've ever been to. She totally just came in from the second she came in through the door. She owned the room, and she owned me and everyone in there, and it was just great. And I'm a musician. I'm a full-time musician. That's what I do. I know what it's like to perform. I know what it's like to be in a good performance. She was magnificent. I'm so in love with her. I'm just over the moon that she's here. I'm going to try and see this next performance.
You rock, Danny. What's your instrument, by the way?
I play guitar.
I love you already.
Oh, well, one day, Lisa, one day.
Thank you for being there. Really, we really appreciate you being there.
Thank you for being
there. All right, Danny, thanks so much. How often do you get a chance to meet the public, you know, the people who, after your shows or?
I actually make a habit of trying to, if I have the energy, because usually right after the show, I am just so, whew, I'm so spent. But I like people, and I feel safe enough to just walk through the audience. I just get off the stage sometimes and I walk through the audience. I thank people for coming, and they share stories, or they want to take pictures, or they just want to hug, or I love actually meeting with them, because they're the reason that we get a chance to do it.
You seem like a very spiritual person, very much in sort of connected to the world, the earth, you know. Do you draw from that in the work you do?
I need it. I need the release, because it's, you know, when you're walking on wet grass or dirt, you can feel the graininess, you can feel the realness of it. And what it gives you doesn't, you feel the weight of words, but it's there are no words there. It just gives you this a reset button, a realness and a reset button. And I just love it. Wet sand, all that kind of thing. Just going out in the sun.
What is it like being in California? I mean, because where do you live? Do you still live back east?
Brooklyn!
You still live in Brooklyn, yeah.
I'm a Brooklyn girl. It's beautiful here, you know, because it's like about maybe almost 30 degrees at home, so it's getting kind of nippy.
So, I heard it was 20, actually.
Oh,
it's really getting cold. Do you feel like, you know, sort of spiritually at home here?
I feel spiritually at home anywhere, to be honest. I think the whole planet, I think I tend to think more globally. I just feel like I think it's because of touring and being in different hotels and different places all the time that you have to sort of be fluid.
And sort of, because you have to be, if you're always wanting to get back home, that's got to make for a very long roadshow.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Is it harder, you know, when you're touring with, you know, these big rock bands? Because that's a whole different kind of culture than Lines Ballet, right?
Well, it's like you're touring with a large city. The more people, the more souls, the more stories, the more emotions, the more shifting that you have to do in order to kind of fit into the city. You know, but I like it. It kind of keeps me, I don't know, it keeps me flowing. I like it.
Is there a particular concert where you did sing back up that, you know, you'll always remember for one reason or another?
Oh my God. Brazil on the beach, Rolling Stones. There was a million people there, and you could feel, you could taste the heat and the sweat and the salt air. And it was so humid and it was so hot, but it was electric. But you knew you'd be safe. And it was like it was just so safe to be there. People were like there, I think, a couple of days in advance, just waiting on the beach.
It was
a free concert. God, I don't remember the year. I'd say it's got to be, I don't know, around 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things you just don't forget.
Were you with them in Cuba?
No, I didn't go.
That must have been an amazing concert.
Oh, I wish I had seen it. I mean, I saw little clips. I think you can actually buy the DVD of the performance.
Maybe. I seem to remember, though. I remember the Cuban government, one of the conditions for allowing the Stones to play was that it was free. And so I don't know what kind of, you know, profit-sharing thing there is, if any.
We'll have to Google ourselves to bits to see what's on.
Well, I wonder, can I get you to sing something here for us? Keep clearing your voice. You got a lot of water there, I see.
I do. I always carry water with me.
What are you going to sing?
A time for us. Someday there'll be, when chains are torn by courage born of a love that's free. A time when dreams are long denied can flourish as we unveil the love we now must hide.
Lisa Fisher. That is not a song you're singing with Lines Ballet, correct?
I don't want to give it away. You have to come to the show to hear that.
How many different pieces do you sing?
It's interesting. There are, how can I explain this? There are a few, but a lot of what I do is texture and painting vocally, which is really fun.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's almost like a wordless painting that kind of trickles down your back and falls off the dancers into the audience. It's the best way I can explain it.
What was the collaboration with Alonzo King like on that? I mean, was that a negotiation?
First of all, he's amazing.
We've had him on several times.
Oh, okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I feel like I've known him a million years in some ways, you know? I was scared to death to do it, and he...
What were you scared of?
I had never done anything with the ballet before, and I'm uncoordinated. You're like, come on in. I was like, what? And after, I mean, I had no idea what we would do. JC came in, and the three of us together, we just went through it step by step. And it was just a beautiful process, feeling each other and listening. It was a lot of listening and being patient and waiting for the muse to appear. The thing that kind of makes you go, oh yeah.
How did he coach you in some way? Did he tell you, Lisa, we want more of this?
Or
we
yes.
want yeah. To describe that.
Because his eye is just so beautiful. It's like he sits peacefully and he sits and he watches and sees and hears everything. And so as I'm not very aware of myself, so I'm just kind of walking around, and I'm singing, and he'll ask me maybe what I'm thinking about, or he'll suggest where in the frame of the photograph that the audience sees where I should be, what looks right with the dancers, and just how to integrate really well.
Yeah. What do you think he learned about choreography from you? Anything?
Probably.
He's
what
laughing
not
at that question.
Do. I know. Here's what not to do. Yeah, that would be it.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And it looks like Washington and Milpitas. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Hey, welcome. Yeah, oh. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Lisa, I got four words for you.
Okay.
Save me and So Intense. Those are the two songs that just hooked me onto you. And I saw you a couple of years ago, I think in Yoshi's.
Oh.
And I mean, you have an amazing voice, and your personality just comes through your singing. And I mean, you have a range, and there's just so many good things I can say about you. And as a fellow artist, I love your willingness to learn and to be taught. And just amazing. So,
God bless you. You're amazing. Thank you so much. Wow, that was sweet.
Very sweet. You have a lot of fans out there in the Bay Area. Wow. How did you get into singing? I know a lot of folks get into singing through the church. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was true for you. Mm-hmm. How did you first get there?
I didn't go to church when I was itty bitty bitty little that I remember. But I did go. Probably when I was about maybe 7 or 8. But prior to that, it was from school. My mom was walking me to kindergarten. And I look on the ground and I see a piece of paper. And in my child's mind, I see this paper and I see writing on it. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a song. Hmm. And so my mom's dragging me through the street. Come on, girl, let's go. And I get to the classroom and I tell the teacher, I wrote this song for the class. Can I sing the song for the class? And she let me, and I kept singing and singing and singing, and I wouldn't stop, and she had to stop me. I just loved...
She being your mom or the teacher?
The teacher.
The teacher.
The teacher was like, okay, that's very nice.
Time for math.
You're right, time for
math. Or whatever you do in kindergarten.
You're right.
Finger painting.
You're right. Here, go finger paint in a corner somewhere. But I kind of knew from that moment that feeling of vibrating sound in my body made me happy.
Hmm. You know? Did you get encouragement? I mean, the teacher was like, okay, that's enough of that. But did you also have mentors who said, you know, you really have some talent here?
My mom and dad always sang. And so that was always beautiful to witness. And in school, teachers were wonderful with giving me love and support. And in church, it was lovely. I mean, I never sang lead in church. I really liked singing in the background.
Always.
And something about harmonizing, something about...
Being part of something larger?
Or... Yeah. And the vibration of many voices focusing on one thing, but using their voices in different ways. It's like the ultimate lesson in being yourself, but being a community within that.
Was it your, you know, as your memory, as you think back on public school in Brooklyn and whatever years that was there a robust arts program? Because that's so often now you hear that that's lacking in public schools.
Yeah. I mean, there was always like a music class, an art class, a reading group, a dance class, a cooking class. You know, there were so many wonderful choices.
Did you feel like, at what point did you think, well, this could be a career for me?
Wow. Probably in high school. I think because people around me were taking it really seriously, you know, and like, oh, we're going to go and sing at a club, or we're going to go do blah, 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 or we're going to, you know, go see a play. And then you start, your world starts to open up because of all these new friends that you're making and people that you haven't had access to before in different boroughs.
And New York, I mean, it's such a great tapestry of things to tap into, right?
It is. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. What we've got a couple minutes left. What should people know about The Propelled Heart, the show that is opening November 15th, which is Wednesday, next Wednesday, yes. Lions Ballet?
It's a time, I mean, if you're interested in coming, I think what you can expect is to have a journey within yourself that's a personal one, but you get to do it in a room full of people who are journeying with you. So it can kind of feel scary at times, but it does allow your mind to paint these images. And I think that's what I love about dance, is that it imprints this information to your soul that you get to decide what it means to you.
Well, we have a comment here from Anne Marie who writes, I already love Alonzo King. I'm delighted to be introduced to your guest singer, Lisa Fisher. That's the great synergy that happens when you perform with another arts group, right?
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. I feel so blessed. I really am.
What do you do to prepare for a performance? I mean, I see you've got a big bottle of water there.
Hydration. I do a lot of hydrating. I do a lot of tea. I try to rest as much as I can. People laugh at me. I'm like, they'll call me at 2 in the afternoon. I'm just like, you know.
Passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I rest a lot. I try to be by myself as much as I can because I tend to carry other people's energies a bit too much. So I try to be alone and I try to focus.
Yeah. All right. Lisa Fisher, another comment here. What a lovely woman. Thank you for bringing Lisa Fisher. Way to kick off my day with a good cry. Her singing and her song voice was breaking my heart. So lovely. Well said. Good. Lisa Fisher, thank you so much. Go see her. Perform with Lions Ballet. And it starts next Wednesday, Yerba Buena Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Schaefer here today for Mina Kim. Thanks so much for joining us today, and have a great weekend.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.